You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Woo! Yeah! How you guys doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we happen to feel like talking about. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We have a couple of topics prepared, but sometimes we will go off the beaten path.
Yes, we're known to stray from time to time, but we always come home.
Aw.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
Here to the podcast.
We always come home. So thank you guys for joining us here at home, here at the Crispy Noodle Podcast headquarters, which is our studio slash kitchen. And we're ready to go for another round of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Thank you guys for joining us on this week's episode. Before we delve into all of the news topics that we have at hand, we'd like to do a little intro and a little introduction part of the show where we just recap what we've been up to. So, Mike, how's your past week? What's up? What's up in the world of Costanzo land?
It's been relatively peaceful.
I'm glad the treaties went through. I don't know what the peaceful. What?
No,
it sound like you're warring, warring faction over there.
It was a constant state of war and turmoil. No. no, things have been good. Things have just been laid back recently.
Okay. Summer.
I caught up on a movie that I was dying to see this past year, A Quiet Place. Seen that one?
No.
Oh,
that's
man.
That's the one that's all quiet.
Yes. So
A Quiet Place.
Yes, exactly. Now, I had wondered, just how quiet is it? Well, it's very quiet, Rich.
Yeah. Here's my argument for this movie. Because
okay.
I remember this
for
movie.
For it or against it?
Against it.
Oh, against it.
Because my thing was, this was not a movie I wanted to see in the theater. Because part of the experience of going to see a movie, in my opinion, is the sound. I want to feel like, you know, that's why I love Star Wars or something or Avengers or something. Like, you feel the sound when, you know, somebody lands and you have the Dolby surround sound and everything like that. But if you have a movie where the premise is you got to be quiet, then to me it's like, no, I'm not going to see this movie in the theaters.
Okay, so I will tell you.
Am I dead wrong?
Yes.
Fantastic. All right. Continue, Mike.
Well, you know, because I feel like a lot of people's thinking was probably along those lines, myself included, thinking, well, it's quiet. You know, it's probably not a great big screen movie. But seeing it on the small screen, I can definitely see how this would be just as compelling, maybe even more compelling on the big screen because of the way it uses sound as a storytelling mechanic or the lack of sound as a storytelling mechanic. So, yes, it's quiet. But it's almost like, you know when a joke is so bad it becomes good again? Just bear with me. So the lack of sound draws you in. Everything is so quiet. So you're so intently watching the subtitles. You're so intently watching the actions because a lot of it's conveyed in facial expressions and small movements and in the way characters look at each other. And because the one character in the movie is actually deaf, so during those scenes there's no sound whatsoever. And you could hear a pin drop. So you inch further and further, you know, towards the edge of your seat as you're being sucked further and further in, trying to pick up any nuance you can. And then bam, the jump scares hit you. And that's what makes it so exciting. But it's also the little touches in the sound, too. So they use sign language throughout the film because the one character is deaf and they have to stay quiet. But what's really cool is you can actually hear them mouthing the words because the scenes are so quiet. So, and that's intentional because some scenes you can hear them mouthing them. You can hear them saying it very, very faintly, more so than in other scenes. So it's not that there's a lack of sound. It's just that it plays the sound in a different way. I was just completely, you know, that the sound thing is one thing, but I was completely blown away by just the story itself. And, you know, the fact that this is Jim Halpert from The Office.
That's what blew you away.
He wrote, directed, produced, and starred in this movie. And he was fantastic. You know, because everybody thinks of him as, dopey Jim Halpert, you know, giving his looks to the camera and pulling pranks on Dwight. But he pulled some really emotional scenes off in this movie that were really incredible. And I just, I shouldn't say that it didn't get it didn't get enough awareness in theaters, because it did. It was actually a surprise hit for the studio. I don't know the studio now off the top of my head. But I know that it did do a fairly decent, fairly decent box office showing. I just wish that more people had given it a shot, because it really is incredible. And I very much urge everyone to go check it out on demand right now, because it is absolutely an incredible film. And it's funny because you say, you know, there's not a lot of sound, but when I was watching, I watched it twice, actually, once with my brother and my cousin, and then once with our parents. We actually cranked the volume up really, really loud, so you get even more of the effect of, you know, the real quiet scenes contrasted with the really loud action scenes contrasted with, you know, the quiet moments where you can just hear the very whispery breaths of the characters as they're signing to their daughter. It's really, really incredible. Really well thought out movie, just in terms of how they use sound.
Okay.
And they incorporate a character with disabilities like that. Okay. That was really cool.
I mean, I'm sure it's probably a good movie to watch at home or something. But personally, it didn't appeal to me to spend $20 on a movie where, if there's no sound, it's, I don't know. To me, I feel like that's a little bit of just like, I don't know, why are you wasting your money on something like that? Well, but I don't know.
There is.
I'll give it a shot.
There is sound, though, because the action sequences, I mean, there's no talking, but there is absolutely sound. There's environmental sounds. There's, you know, the sounds of the action. There's the sounds of the characters. And like I said, it ends up sucking you in. It's that whole theory of, like, if you speak softly, people will lean in to hear you. That's what this movie does. This movie is someone speaking softly, and so you lean in closer to hear them.
But when do I carry a big stick?
The last half of the movie.
Okay, good. Because I like it, carrying big sticks.
It wallops you over the head. Yeah, yeah. It wallops you over the head with its big stick continuously for the second half of the film as the action gets ratcheted up further and further. But yeah, highly recommend it. I give it a solid 8 out of 10, I think.
Okay, there you go. Mike's movie recommendation for you for the week.
Yeah. But other than that, we had a family birthday party, ate a lot of food.
That's good.
I mean,
food report.
That's pretty much standard. We did something new, though, that you might be interested in hearing about.
What?
Yes.
What? You guys didn't go back to... didn't go back to sausages?
Sausages!
No sausages?
A type of sausage. It was soppressata.
Okay. So it was sausage.
But we changed it up.
Sausages!
What we did is we sliced it thick, and we grilled it.
Uh-huh.
And then put it in a piece of bread with cheese and made like grilled soppressata sandwiches.
So grilled sausage sandwich.
Yes, but no, it's soppressata.
Right.
It's better than sausage.
Right, yes, it's the homemade stuff.
Yes, it was delicious.
All right, very good. Mike is...
I just figured I'd fill everybody in.
Mike has the sausage report. I'm glad. any other developments on the sausage news cycle over
that's
there?
That's it.
Okay, just, very good.
We grilled our soppressata and it was amazing.
Very good.
So there you go. So... A Quiet Place
and sausage
and soppressata. Yes,
sausages.
So there you go.
What were you up to? I know that you had a little trip.
Yes, I was down the shore this past weekend. You know, why not? It's summer vacation. You got to go see the shore a little bit.
That's what everybody does.
Yeah,
you go down to the beach.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I went to Sea Isle, which was my first time in that.
Yeah, I've never been there.
That shore town. Usually my family went to Ocean City growing up.
Right.
And you guys go to Ocean City, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So usually my hot spots are Ocean City or Atlantic City because why not? lose some more money while you're in
Atlantic
City.
Because gambling.
Right. Lights.
Lights. Yeah. Ooh, lights. Ooh, gambling. Ooh, yes. Lights.
Ooh, music. Ooh.
Ooh, a piece of candy.
Yeah, right.
That's a piece of candy.
That's basically me in Atlantic City.
Except it's poker chips. Ooh, a poker chip.
Ooh, another poker chip. So yeah, I went down the shore, as they say. And yeah, had some fun. had some libations, of course, since Sea Isle is not a dry city like Ocean City. So
right.
There's like a main strip on Sea Isle where they got clubs and stuff. And
okay.
So I got to get my drink on. had a drink called a 302.
Okay.
Which is like...
Is that the area code?
No. Yeah, good. Wow, that's a good guess. No, it's not.
What does 302 stand for? I don't know.
It stands for a drink that they make down there where it's like a slushy, but in the slushy, they put two shots of 151.
Ooh.
And you are guaranteed to get drunk. Because that means it's 151 proof.
Yeah. Wow.
And 151 times two is 302.
Yes, it is.
Right. So they call it a 302.
It all makes sense. Ooh. Yeah. But it's a slushy?
Yeah. It's like a slushy kind of a drink. Yeah.
Ooh.
So you don't even realize you're getting drunk.
What else do they put in it?
It's some sort of cherry fruity concoction thing mixed together in ice. And
can they do like pineapple? Because I like pineapple.
I mean, if you want to really be a tourist and be like, I don't like that mixture. I want the pineapple mixture.
What's wrong with pineapple? Pineapple's delicious.
But it's not the original.
It's not the original
drink.
Yeah. Well, screw you and your
original
drink.
You're the tourist.
What's wrong with that? I like what I like.
You know that's an American thing, right?
What?
Like, if you were to visit another country, it's actually rude to say like a suggestion or a change in the menu.
Oh well, first off, I only order stuff off the menu because I'm inept with coming up with my own combinations.
Okay.
But I was just asking if they did a pineapple variety. I wouldn't be like, oh no, make this pineapple.
Yes, you must use the pina colada stuff or something.
If they did have that variation of it, I'd like it very much. I like cherry though. Cherry's good.
Yeah, it was pretty tasty. But the problem is you don't realize you're drinking a lot of alcoholic content in that drink. And then you go up the stand.
You had like a travel mug size, didn't you?
Oh yeah, because they give you a nice little cup. And then you go to make, when you get up from the bar and you take that first step, you do a wobble like, oh, okay. Uh-oh. Okay, here we go. So yeah, it's potent. It will, it's good. It's good. It's a good way to start the night. The bar is set very high.
Well, that's the way you started. Yeah. That's the way you finished.
I don't know if you can finish with it. If you start and you finish with it, you're not going to remember anything.
You might be in an ambulance by the end of the night.
Yeah, you're definitely gonna be hurting the next morning. So, but it was a lot of fun.
Much like the weather here, you were in a haze most of this past weekend.
Oh,
is what you're saying.
I gotta mention this.
Okay,
I picked like the best weekend to go to the shore this time around.
Yeah,
personally.
Okay,
because
most normal people in Pennsylvania in the summer would disagree with you.
Right.
Okay.
I do not like the sun. The sun and me do not get along.
You say that like a emo goth teenager.
I know.
I don't like the sun.
I just don't.
No, no. I totally get you. And I totally agree.
I just don't like the, when it's like oppressive heat. Well, anything 85, anything like, you know.
Don't say 85. 80 or above.
85.
I need subarctic temperatures all year round.
Anything above 85 with 100% humidity or 90% humidity, it's just not good. I hate it. But this weekend was actually pretty good for me because Saturday it rained. Sunday was all day cloudy.
Right.
So that was like the perfect beach day for me because it was like, yeah, I could do this. Like, there's no sun out. I'm not getting sunburned. This is perfect. Monday was relatively cool too. I think the only hot day was Tuesday when I, that was my last day there. So, yeah, I picked like a
perfect,
very good weekend.
It's perfect for you.
This is in contrast to my last sort of vacation I took down the shore like a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
When I picked the hottest weekend ever. That was the weekend of a US Open.
Oh,
and I remember instead of going to the beach, I absolutely couldn't because it was like 100 degrees and 100% humidity every single day that I was there.
Is that the year where you were like, yeah, I just drank beer and watched golf all week?
I
was the
in.
Perfect vacation.
I stayed inside and watched the US Open. That weekend I did not step foot on the beach.
See, my whole thing with vacation is, and people in my family group, we seem to disagree. They're like, oh, but you got to go outside, you got to go to the beach. My whole thing is vacation is what you want it to be. If you enjoy sitting inside, drinking a beer, watching the U.S. Open, and not having to worry about work, that's vacation.
Yeah, or sunburn.
Or sunburn.
Right, I don't want to have to worry about getting sunburned.
So, like, I completely agree with the no sun thing, because I'm not a fan of, everyone gets so excited when the sun comes out from behind the clouds, and all I think is like, oh, it's baking me, and I'm so uncomfortable. Right,
we're
exactly.
We're essentially food flesh.
I can feel like a basted turkey in an oven,
yeah.
Right? I feel like I'm crisping up. Like I could just peel a piece off and be like, it's like crispy duck, delicious. You know, I don't like that feeling.
You're essentially a crispy duck.
I am a crispy duck. Crispy duck on the crispy noodle. but no, I totally get it. And so like my family's worried. We're going down this upcoming week.
Yes.
And everybody's worried. Is it going to rain? Is it going to rain? I'm like, guys, that sounds amazing. Not all week, but like if I could spend a day with a couple of Mike's Hard Lemonade, sitting on the porch, listening to the rain, reading a good book, like that to me sounds great. You know,
right?
A day or two of that, I'm down with that.
Right, but you know, you got people that are, you know, they want to be at the beach the majority of the time. Yeah. So if it doesn't,
we're also a house of 18. So that image of me sitting on the porch will probably not last longer than like an hour or two at most.
That's right, because sooner or later you're gonna have to get to your sausage sandwiches down the shore.
Sausages.
Yeah. So make sure, don't forget to bring.
We have plenty
of food. What's on the menu? Because I bet you guys have to plan this out already.
I'll tell you what's on the menu.
We have
zucchini parmigiana.
Okay.
One night we're having pasta and meatballs and sausage. Yes, sausage.
Is it all cooked? Is it already?
Zucchini parm is. Yes.
All right, we got one thing done.
The pasta is not, because they make the pasta down there. My mom also made, I think she said, 9 pounds of chicken cutlets.
Wow.
Yeah. I came downstairs the one morning.
9 pounds.
Yeah. I came downstairs the one
morning.
You
basically are making a baby-sized amount of chicken parmesan.
An entire baby of chicken. no, but I came down the one morning, and there's like 7 packages of chicken breast out on the counter. I'm like, Mom, are we having chicken for dinner? She goes, no, that's for the shore.
I want you guys now.
Yeah.
I want someone to bring a baby carrier. And
just fill it with food.
Right. In the baby carrier, you're putting nothing but chicken parm in there. And then you're going to bring it to the beach. And someone's going to be like, why is the baby out in the sun? Oh, no, it's cooking.
You know what? We're warming it up.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, what's funny is we have 3 toddlers with us.
Right.
So we have baby carriers.
Switch one of the babies.
Well, they can walk. So we can force them. Mush.
Yes.
We can force them to walk. And then we'll put the food in. I'm going to suggest that.
There you go.
Like, look, they got legs. They got shoes. They can do it.
I want you to scare some tourist that thinks like you're leaving a baby
just
out in the sun.
Like the cover open.
Yeah.
And they see the heat waves coming up. They're like, oh my God, that baby. And they're like, no, it's just chicken.
Right.
Like, how could you refer to your children like that? And they're like, oh, you mean literally chicken.
Yes.
Yeah. So chicken cutlets, pasta, zucchini parm. We're ordering in one night. One night we're going to AC.
You are going to AC.
Yes, we are. We're going to a tapas restaurant. I think that's what the last word was.
Yeah, you got to get some gambling in there. Come on.
I mean,
come
maybe.
On, Mike.
You know I'm very averse to losing money. But you also know that I like to throw down a little bit at the roulette wheel because it's easy to win at that.
Yeah,
point.
There you go. That's my favorite game.
I want to try my hand at blackjack, but I just don't want to spend the money.
Blackjack can get expensive because everybody wants to play blackjack, so they raise the table limit.
Yeah, and you can't just go in and be like, I'll just play one hand
and then leave. Right.
You know,
but roulette,
I could do that. It would just be
really awkward,
socially unacceptable,
right? And you'd have some
but
gamblers.
That's my middle name.
No, but roulette, you can do that. So stick with roulette.
Yeah, I'm gonna. I'll throw down a little bit on.
Yeah, Mike, go, Mike.
That's why you.
What?
Okay. No, you act like we went one time and I played the roulette wheel.
Yeah,
I went another time. I played the roulette wheel.
Right, and I want you to keep it up.
I'm gonna keep it up.
You're on a winning streak.
That's right. Both times I came out ahead.
Yeah. So I want you. Come on.
The second time it was only by $5.
Let it ride. Let it ride. Go, 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 Mike.
This time I'll be able to gamble more. Last time I couldn't really gamble all that much.
Good.
Because the one person in our group was not having a fun time. And so I felt pressured to like leave.
Boo.
Otherwise, if I had let it ride, I would have won again on the color that I was playing. I was walking away, I saw it stop on that color. I was like, oh.
Well, good. Make sure you visit the casinos and have some fun gambling.
Yes.
Do what I would do.
What would Rich do?
Yes.
WWRD.
Yes, exactly.
It's a dangerous question to ask.
It possibly could be. But there you go. Just to give you an idea of what we're up to. By the way, this also brings up a little programming note that I think we should mention. So Mike's going on a very nice week-long vacation. I'm going to be out doing some stuff as well. So officially, we're taking next week's episode off. But we still will have an episode for you next Thursday. It'll be a best of episode. it's going to be hilarious because we're going to pick and choose some hilarious odd news stories, some other clips from the past as well. It's still an episode that you're not going to want to miss. But that's what we do here on the Christmas Middle Podcast. We want to make sure every week you are entertained. Every Thursday, there's a new podcast for you. So don't be surprised. We got another episode coming for you next week. All right, but we got to get to this week's episode.
I know.
And we got some news in the sports realm. It's time for the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face. Ha ha.
Oh, yeah, the Majestic Open Championship, as they call it. It's supposed to be the British Open, but, you know.
But it's the Open.
The Open, yes.
The Ohio State.
We were the original, so we are the Open
so
Championship.
Obnoxious.
All right, well, anyway, let's get to the happy news here. Mike, you're going to be happy. I think this might be the happiest you're going to ever be during a golf segment. Because the winner is... from Italy, Francesco Molinari wins at 8-under.
Paisan. Yeah,
Paisan. Hey, our own Paisan. Hey.
Francesco Molinari.
Molinari, yeah. Goes marches right into Scotland and takes the British Open. How do you like that?
Nice. Italy invading Scotland. Let's do it.
Yeah. How do you like us now, huh?
Get your haggis and bagpipes out of here.
Yeah.
We got, all right. What do we got? Pasta and screeching Italian mothers.
It's a very formidable army.
You don't want to mess with that army.
Yeah.
I ain't going to hit you with a belly pin. You get out of here.
Italy messed up in World War II. All they had to do was get all the moms on the front line and everybody be like, oh, man.
I'm going to hit you with this rolling pin. You can't move.
What's the Simpsons one? Or Homer's looking at, what is it, Mama Celeste? And she goes, you touching me, I cut you.
Yeah, you touching me, I cut you.
That's all Italy had to do, man. They messed up.
Yeah, so, but
anyway,
it's good to see, by the way, this is the first Italian, the first person born in Italy, to be a pro golfer and win a major championship ever.
Yeah, because they don't play golf in Italy.
They should, why not?
It's just a mountain.
I like hitting the ball.
Dude, it's a mountain range and two beaches.
Like, it looks like a tiny little white meatball. I hit it in the hole.
First off, if your meatballs are white. You need to get better meatballs.
Yeah.
I think you're eating mothballs.
I'm sorry.
And secondly, yeah, I can imagine that Italians wouldn't be very good golfers because there's nowhere to golf in Italy. It's a mountain range and two beaches and a couple of orchards. Orchards? Yeah, sure. Why not? Orchards. Let's go with that.
But nevertheless, congratulations to the champ, Francesco Molinari. He pretty much played a... near perfect weekend. I believe he finished with no bogeys at all during the weekend.
Wow, that's really impressive.
Yeah, so that'll help you win a championship.
Oh, yeah.
So he finished at 8-under.
Okay.
Here's some other notable finishes, though, for you, because you like to hear about some of the mainstay names that we cover here on the podcast. Rory McIlroy finished tied for second at 6-under, so maybe he's finding a little bit of his groove back. Because relatively, you know, speaking, he hasn't really made a whole lot of noise during the major competitions recently. Another big one, Tiger Woods finished tied for sixth place at 5-under.
Wow.
Yeah, including a 5-under day on Saturday.
Wow.
Is Tiger Woods actually getting his momentum back?
A resurgence late in his career.
Early 40s. He still could pull off a major. I think Nicholas was 45 for his last major.
He's got a few more years.
Yeah.
I guess.
So maybe there is some time for Tiger.
I think that's probably the best he's ever finished in our time doing the podcast.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
Wow.
He was actually in competition on Sunday because Sunday was a very cool scenario where it was six players tied at 6-under, and then like another five players at like 5-under and 4-under. So literally, you had like a dozen golfers that were all within one or two strokes of each other, and Tiger was one of them.
Wow!
So it was pretty cool. It was a very good, interesting finish on Sunday. I made sure I got home from the beach on Sunday, and I watched. I actually got up at 8:00.
Oh my gosh!
To watch the beginning of it. Spent I think like an hour or two at the beach, and then came back and and watched the Open from 12 to 2.
What'd you do? Walk down, put your toe in the water, and all right, time for golf.
Yeah, it was great. I think I played it beautifully.
There you go. Hey, like I said, you gotta do what you like on vacation.
Yeah. So
I'm glad you got to watch the final round. It sounds like an exciting round for golf fans.
It was.
For all those golfers to be that close to each other.
It was. That's what I like when there's very close competitions, because then people play aggressively. Justin Rose was one of them off the top of my head. He went really aggressive on the back nine. When he realized he had a shot to climb up the leaderboard, he was taking out his long irons and just gunning for the hole, because, hey, why not? You know, right. If you're all within a stroke or two of each other, go for the birdie. Yeah, let's see. Let's see how accurate you can be. And yeah, he was climbing up.
It's those moments where you really got to push it, you know,
right.
Because it's within grasp. And even if you fall one stroke behind, I mean, you're still relatively close with the pack being that tight, I guess.
Unfortunately, though, sometimes when you take a lot of risks, sometimes it goes the other way.
Uh-oh.
And that pretty much happened to defending champion Jordan Spieth, which is really weird because he had the lead after Saturday. But I think he felt some pressure. Because if you have the lead on Saturday, you golf last on Sunday. So you can see everybody starting to climb up the leaderboard.
You start to get nervous.
I think he got a little bit nervous because he finished Sunday alone, Sunday, 5 over.
Wow.
Yeah, that's not good. That's not going to help you win championships. So that essentially took him completely out of contention.
I remember we used to talk about his cool composure and, you know, his clutch shooting, and now it's like, oh, well, he let his nerves get to him.
Yeah.
It's kind of strange, that reversal.
It's funny. He is better. Here's what I'm going to say about Jordan Spieth. He is better when he's riding a wave climbing up the leaderboard, you know?
Rather than
As opposed to he got the lead on Saturday and then had to try to finish with the lead. He's not.
Yeah.
That something about that throws him off. He's better trying to make the rally on Sunday than Saturday, and then trying to hang on to it.
It's two types of pressure,
right?
You know, one is you're backed into a corner and you have to be your best, and the other is, well, now I'm here at my best, and you feel the weight of having to perform up to expectations. You know, one is I've got nothing to lose, and the other is I have everything to lose.
Right. So he's better at the first.
Yeah.
In that scenario. So, yeah, he finished ninth. He went from first to ninth place.
Ouch.
Yeah, that's what a 5 over on Sunday will do. Can't win with that. But let's go back to brass tacks. Francesco Molinari, our Italian paisan, he won! Yes, it's so good to see one of our paisans win one of these things.
Bringing a British Open from Scotland back to Italy.
Yeah, how do you like
all
that?
All right. And you watched it in America.
I did.
It's a multicultural event. It's beautiful.
Yes. It brought a tear to my meatball.
You might want to get that checked out.
Okay, I might do that later. There is one more golf topic that I have to bring up here.
Okay.
And I think, Mike, you might actually take glee in this. Because the next major is going to be the PGA Championship. But it is announced that this is the last time that the PGA Championship is going to be held this late in the year in August, because they've made a decision that after this year, they are going to switch the majors around. This is pretty significant for golf.
Jeez, it's like trying to turn the Titanic.
Yes, all right? Change doesn't come to golf very easily.
Right.
So, I don't know. I think you need to stand in awe at this, Mike.
Okay.
The majors are going to be realigned. They are going to move the PGA Championship starting next year. They're going to move the PGA Championship to May.
Okay.
And this is really the primary reason here. The PGA said that they felt that they were losing out viewers to the NFL preseason.
That's sad, because the preseason's terrible.
But, Mike, I think...
No, that's awesome, though.
Yeah,
I mean,
look at you. Golf is literally bowing down to football.
As it should.
You should be happier than...
I am happy.
An Italian won the British Open. Golf is conceding the football. You should be happy.
This is the perfect golf story, I think. I mean, yeah, you got to make way for football. You know what?
I do kind of agree with this move, though. I don't want to be in the middle of switching between preseason football and golf.
It's two mindsets. You don't want to be like all prim and proper watching golf and then have to you know, flip the switch over to super aggressive football. You know, the two cannot coexist. We must have these sports on
so
separate ends of the spectrum.
We're basically Harry Potter and Voldemort. One of them must die.
Yes, one of them must die, so the other must can live.
Right. Okay.
Is Roger Goodell Voldemort? I don't know.
He might be.
How does that work?
He loses a nose. Yeah, he's going to be Voldemort.
He loses a nose. Roger Goodell loses nose in freak football accident.
becomes evil wizard. That sounds like something he would do.
I mean, he's basically an evil wizard.
Yeah.
But no, this is going to sound bad. I mean, this does make me happy.
Thanks, Mike.
It does, because I, you know, as somebody who's really looking forward to football season, as soon as football starts, I want to be focused on football. You know, I don't want to have, you know, golf coming up and, you know, ruining the football mojo as you're getting ready to head into the season. You know, once football season starts, it's all football all the time for me. I can't have anything else distracting me from the amazingness of football and the Philadelphia Eagles.
The only other thing that can distract is a Game 7 World Series. That's it.
That's basically it.
That's it. That's it. Other than that, yeah.
Game 6, nah, forget about it. Game 5, don't even get me out of bed for it.
Yeah, that's a...
Game 1 to 4, I'm not even... it's not even real to me.
Game 7, though, is pretty
good. Game 7's pretty good.
So, yeah, just to recap, this is the last time the PGA Championship will be held in August. Starting in 2019, PGA Championship will move to May. So this is going to be an interesting change starting in 2019, because now we literally are going to have a major a month. We will have the Masters in April, now the PGA Championship in May, then the U.S. Open in June, and now the British Open in July is going to close out the major year.
I mean, that makes better sense.
It does seem a little bit better to tighten up the schedule.
I never realized that there was such a big gap between...
The Masters and the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it makes more sense to have, like, one a month instead of, like, one, and then you wait a whole month, and, you know, then you have, like, two within 3 weeks, and, yeah, I think this is better overall. You know, it's better for NFL fans, and it's better for golf fans. Golf fans get more golf earlier, and earlier in the summer, so it's not, you know, so swelteringly hot to, you know, go out and see people golf or go golf yourself.
That's actually a concern because they're saying there's going to be a humidity warning for Bethpage Black at the PGA Championship.
For what? Bethpage?
That's the name of the course, Bethpage Black.
Bethpage Black?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like a golf course name.
Yes, it's the name of a golf course.
Okay.
but they're saying it's going to be very humid and very hot. So
yeah, see, nobody wants to golf in that.
Right.
You know, so this is better for golfers, this is better for golf fans, this is better for NFL fans. It sounds like it's just a smart move. One, because make way for the NFL.
Yes.
And two, because it does have practical reasons for the golfing sports community.
Yes. So it'll be a little bit weird to adjust, but I think probably better.
Will it be weird to adjust?
A little bit, yeah, because I'm always used to...
But they're all separate events. Like, you could mix and match them to your heart's content.
But this is you don't understand, Mike. This has been the order that
this
it's
is
been
tradition.
The entire my entire life.
Right.
Like, that's a weird concept to think about.
It's like when they moved the Pro Bowl to before the Super Bowl.
Yeah. It's like, what? Like, it doesn't really affect me, but at the same time, it's like, this is just weird.
Yeah. It's weird and I don't like it.
Yeah. But no, I think this one we will get used to it. It's just awkward to say to start out with.
I think you'll like it because you get more golf. Early on.
Right.
Give us something to talk about in the dead month of May for sports.
That's right.
Jesus. Somebody tell me what happens in May for sports. That's right. Literally nothing.
The Kentucky Derby. That's it.
The Kentucky Derby, yeah.
We have to talk about horse racing. Oh, my God.
You don't realize these things until you host a podcast with a sports segment. And you're like, Rich, what happened? You're like, literally nothing.
Dear God, how are you going to get through it? Nah, we always somehow put on a sports sampler for you guys every week. But unfortunately, we have to wrap this week's up. A lot of golf news there. We will wrap up the sports sampler, but don't go anywhere, because coming next, we got the entertainment entree, and then we got the non-fortune cookie odd news. We'll be right back.
I'm Nikolai Volkov. I want you to keep listening to Crispy Noodle. And that is order.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? My Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Google Plus, your sister's ass, the punish button. Very pissed off thick here. You know what ticks me off? Everybody's got a podcast. Everybody's got a podcast. But no podcast ever asked me to be on but the Crispy Noodle podcast. That's what pissed off. Podcast that don't ask me to be on.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Before we jump into the next part of the show, sometimes we tend to, sometimes we'll bleed a little bit of a segment. I got to bring up another thing from the sports sampler. The Phillies are rocking it right now. They took 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers, which is another team that's leading their division. And the Phillies right now are leading the NL East. Wow. I'm wearing a Phillies shirt right now. I'm feeling the baseball season right now.
Nice.
Come on, Phillies.
Good
keep this
job,
going.
Phillies. Yeah, this is when you got to start getting hot, you know, second half of the season. The problem is you got to ride this all the way to October. You think they can pull it off?
I don't know, man. The division's pretty weak. You know, the Mets.
We talked about that when we talked about them, you know, being tied for first heading into the All-Star break.
Yeah, the Mets and the Marlins aren't doing anything.
Are the Dodgers? Are they good?
Yeah, they're leading their division. And we took 2 out of 3 from them.
It's not like we're beating chump teams. We're also beating, you know, decent teams as well.
Right. So, I don't know, man.
Once you get to the playoffs, though, can they compete against all the other best teams?
Look, for this team, winning the division is amazing.
This is a huge...
The Phillies were not supposed to be this good this fast.
Right. This is... people are going to crucify me for making an analogy like this, but this is like the Eagles going 7-9, and then all of a sudden be like, "Whoops, we're 13-3."
Yeah,
I'm not saying the Phillies are going to go whatever the equivalent of 13-3 is, but it's a positive sign that you can have that continued growth and that continued, upward trajectory.
Yeah,
you know, if they had started to plateau or if they had taken a dip from last year, that would have been bad. But as long as they keep getting better, you know things are heading in the right direction, and they just got to keep fine-tuning and tweaking it. So
go Phillies, man.
A playoff run might be in the Phillies' future this
year. Yeah, why not? We got the Lombardi Trophy. Maybe a World Series.
That's right. I was just reflecting the other day. You know, in our lifetime, we've seen a World Series, NCAA Championship.
Two.
Oh, that's right.
Two. Nova won it twice.
That's
right.
And most importantly, a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
This is the city of champions.
That's right.
So yeah, we gotta keep it going.
Yeah,
come on.
Take that, all other cities.
Yeah, screw you. Yeah, City A, New York,
Cleveland. Cleveland hasn't won anything except for that one title that LeBron somehow squeaked out. That was it.
Because he's the GOAT.
No, he's not. Anyway, let's move on to the next part of the show. It's time for the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
We're the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
At one point, when you were performing, some of the customers did something you didn't like, and you did what?
Something just came over me, and I took my clothes off.
You took all your clothes off?
Not all of them. I left my bra and underwear on.
You take your clothes off a lot.
I do.
All right, there you go. That, yeah, do you want to take a guess at who that
was? Barbara Walters, one.
Yep, it's Barbara Walters. Yes.
Barbara Walters. I don't know who the other. Walters. Who the other.
This is Barbara Walters on 2020. She's one of those people, I feel like her lips don't actually move.
Well, how old is she? Like 175?
Maybe. She's interviewed everybody.
So I don't think she can move those lips anymore.
I think she interviewed Napoleon.
So Napoleon.
Yes, Napoleon. You're taking over the world. What do you think is going to happen?
It was a great interview.
Yes.
I'm
taller than you. What do you think of that?
I'm taller than you. And at that point, she was already 90 years old.
Yeah.
Barbara Walters is an icon. But who is the other person?
Can you take a guess?
I have no idea. Somebody who takes their clothes off. Who? I don't know.
That's a good start.
Like, I don't know. Probably some like singing person.
It is a singing person.
Okay. And did she say she has brown underwear?
Yeah, she has brown underwear. I don't know if that helps. I don't think that'll help your mic. But
yeah, I don't know about brown underwear though. But anyways, I don't know. Who is this person?
So this was an interview Barbara Walters had with the famed singer, the fame monster herself, Lady Gaga.
Oh, that's Lady Zsa-Zsa?
Lady Zsa-Zsa, yes. Okay. And apparently they had a brief little tidbit about how there was a night that she was performing in New York City, and she decided to just go naked when the people in the crowd weren't paying attention to her. So, yeah, that's a way to get people's attention.
Absolutely.
At one point, when you were performing, some of the customers did something you didn't like, and you did what?
Something just came over me, and I took my clothes off.
You took all your clothes off?
Not all of them. I left my bra and underwear on.
You take your clothes off a lot.
I do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So,
a performer stripping down on stage. I mean, that's pretty shocking.
Yes. So this clip went viral again because you can isolate the audio and we can take away this sound bit. I think that will be appropriate for our Florida Odd News stories right here.
Something just came over me and I took my clothes off.
I think that's going to be in use for a lot of Florida.
Oh, yeah.
When you
put it in that frame, that context, that clip is amazing.
Yeah, I think we're gonna get a lot of mileage out of this clip.
Something just came over me, and I took my clothes off.
Yes, there you go.
Yeah, if you had an analog soundboard with actual buttons, that button would be worn down to nothing after after a month of Odd News.
Yeah, so we're gonna add that to the soundboard because. Lady Gaga, just saying.
That is a great clip, though.
Yeah, Lady.
That perfectly. If anybody ever wants to know, if anybody wants to get in the head of a Floridian in the middle of an Odd News story, you just play that clip, and it explains everything.
Something just came over me, and I took my clothes off.
So there you go. Thank you, Lady Zsa-Zsa, for giving us a look into the mind of Florida Odd News perps, because I think that pretty much sums it up.
Yes.
There.
I like Lady Zsa-Zsa.
Yeah, I like her music, actually.
Her music is fun.
Yeah, I think she actually comes up with pretty good music.
And she's a very talented singer.
Yeah,
and performer.
She writes her own music, too.
Oh, yeah, that's a rarity.
Right. So.
You look at any Beyonce album, and it's like, oh, wow, that song had 47 and a half writers.
Yeah,
let's not go off on a tangent.
Yeah, because.
You want a tangent, don't you? Go ahead, tangent. Tangent away.
Because
Spiral Rich.
I think she's overrated. I don't.
She is. She absolutely is.
I do not get the whole Beyonce thing.
I don't get it.
I don't know if it's a culture thing. I don't know. I do not get it. Like, I mean, Beyonce's she's all right, but like, the Beehive. Really, this is a thing.
It's cultish.
Yeah,
it is absolutely cultish. Like that is how a cult starts.
Right. So meanwhile, support Ghost because I think they're the best band ever.
I just said it's cultish.
Right.
And you're like, support this Satan worshiping
yes.
Swedish death metal band.
Right. If you're gonna join a cult, at least join one that's badass. And join one that has the devil behind it.
At least join an interesting cult.
Right, all right.
You sons of bitches.
Join the cult of Ghost. Help me
Fantastic.
Out.
Fantastic.
So that's my message for all the kiddies out there.
Listen up, kids. Listen to Uncle Rich. got some hot tips for you.
Yeah, don't be like the rest of the people. No.
Don't worship stupid pop singers. Worship the devil.
Yeah,
he's much better.
Yeah, a lot more fun and better music.
A lot more. Well, the better music. Yes, we can all get behind that. Yes. Absolutely.
Anyway, but also while you're at it, yeah, you can worship Lady Gaga too. I like Lady Gaga.
Didn't Alex Jones once say she was the devil?
Yeah, we had.
So it's basically the same. It's basically the same thing.
Oh my gosh!
The so devil, means, Lady Gaga,
all the singers I worship. You could argue devils,
right? Right.
I'm basically already going to hell. All right, fantastic.
Satan works it through you in mysterious ways.
Somehow it all works out together. But there you go. Our random sound clip of the week. There, Lady Gaga interview with Bubba Watos. Maybe she's the devil too. I don't know. At this rate,
what?
At this rate,
are you just randomly accusing people of being the devil now, Rich?
Yeah, at this rate,
is there anybody else on your devil list?
I don't know. I feel like everybody I respect is turning out to be the devil, so why not?
Let's go. Everyone I respect is the devil,
apparently. So there you go.
Wow.
But now it's time to move on to the part where Mike, someone else who I respect, it might be the devil.
Hey, yeah, you never know.
Is going to let you know what's coming up this week. And the weekend in terms of movies, TV, and video games. It's time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
Just came over me and I took my clothes off.
There you go. Take your clothes off. Take your clothes off during Mike's segment. What do you have for us, Mike?
Well, you know what? You might be taking your clothes off for this one because it's very exciting. In theaters this week, we have Mission Impossible Fallout hitting theaters this week. Rich, this one is right up your alley. You're a huge Mission Impossible fan.
I love Mission Impossible.
This spy-action film marks the series' sixth movie. I didn't realize they had that many movies, but it's doing...
It's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, the series is still going strong. This time around, the mission to stop an enemy group from blowing up several world religious sites goes wrong when the bombs go missing. Tom Cruise stars as Ethan Hunt, who must race against time while avoiding assassins and former allies in order to fulfill his original mission and prevent a global catastrophe. Rich, you'll be pleased to know that this movie is doing very well with critics as well. It has a 98% on Rotten Tomatoes, and that comes from an average rating of 8.4 out of 10 from over 120 critics. So not only is it, you know, doing well in the popular sense, but it's going to do well in a critical sense. Could this be a turning point for the series, perhaps? So everybody go check out.
The Mission Impossible series have always been solidly good, in my opinion.
See, now, maybe it's because I don't follow it, but I always just, after the first one, the only blip on my radar has been, like, generic action film. But I haven't really followed the series that closely.
Yeah,
so I might be completely mistaken. I probably am completely
I think
mistaken.
It's just solid action. I mean, the plots aren't, like, too heavy to think about.
I mean, it's a Tom Cruise movie.
Yeah.
I don't mean in a negative sense, but he's an action star.
But Tom Cruise, you have to respect his level of just dedication. He does all of his own stunts.
Oh, yeah. In terms of the stunts, I mean, there's nobody like Tom Cruise.
Yeah. I mean, maybe Jackie Chan. I think that's the only one you can compare him to.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's just a great, solid series. Every movie is pretty good. The action scenes are usually just something that makes you go, wow, you know. I think it's worth your money. I don't know. Maybe I'm the outlier here.
No, I don't think so, because, like I said...
Or maybe Tom Cruise is the devil.
Scientology.
It could be.
That's pretty close.
All the people I respect are turning out to be the devil.
Boy, you got a scary streak going on there, Rich.
Yeah.
But you know what, though? Go support the devil in his latest film, Mission Impossible Fallout. It's got a 98% on Rotten Tomatoes, so you're going to want to check this one out. Meanwhile, in television, another critically acclaimed show is coming back. Orange is the New Black returns to Netflix this Friday for the hotly anticipated sixth season. After a shocking conclusion to last year's socially charged season, the prisoners find themselves in new places with new faces. Fans are eager to see just who will be returning and how the prison will deal with the fallout and repercussions of the prisoners' actions last season. This is one of my favorite shows on Netflix. I will admit that last year was kind of hit or miss. Some of the episodes weren't as good as some of the previous seasons, but it seems like they're really going to be changing up the format a lot this year by breaking up the cast of characters into multiple locations. I'm trying to be as vague as possible for any fans of the show that maybe aren't caught all the way up, but definitely go check out Orange is the New Black. It's funny, it's heartfelt, and it deals with a lot of weighty topics, so go check that out. In video games, here's a name we never thought we'd hear again. No Man's Sky is getting a full release on Xbox One alongside the now incredibly hyped multiplayer expansion and update next. After an incredibly rocky launch 2 years ago, rife with controversy and customer backlash, including death threats to the developers actually stuck with the game and have released several massive free game-changing updates. The multiplayer update is the fourth of these and has many gamers thinking and talking about jumping back into the once-reviled game. With many recent reviews being very positive, naysayers and Xbox owners alike should consider giving this one a try. And that wraps up for this week in entertainment.
All right, that wraps it up for this week in entertainment, but we're going to spin off of No Man's Sky here.
Yeah, the reason why I cut it sort of abruptly is because this one is sort of a larger topic here. No Man's Sky is such a unique game in today's gaming landscape. It sort of is a microcosm of everything that's wrong and everything that's right with modern gaming. So I alluded to it in the 2 minute drill. Wow. I'm an entire segment behind. I alluded to it in the This Week in Entertainment segment.
Want me to talk about golf again?
No. No, we're fine. We're fine, friend. I'm sorry. I just literally a few seconds ago alluded to it. No Man's Sky came out, I think it was two years ago. The lead up to this game was unlike any I'd seen. Rivaled only by the likes of the really big ones like Call of Duty. I mean, the developer went on Conan, went on Jimmy Fallon.
Colbert,
and he was playing gameplay demos. He was giving talks to, you know, not just the video game media, but also the mainstream media, because this game was supposed to be unlike anything people had ever seen. A completely procedurally generated universe, an entire universe to explore. I mean, literally limitless. And then it launched. And people quickly found out that while it was very vast and broad, it was also very shallow. There was nothing to do. Unfortunately, I got caught up in the hype. I had pre-ordered the game. I sunk, you know, several hours into just, you know, grinding up rocks and turning it into rocket fuel and flying to a new planet and finding more rocks and grinding those rocks up and flying to the next planet. And I got to a point, you know, double-digit hours into this where I find myself just staring at a menu and just hitting X to grind rocks. And I go, this is such a bad use of video gaming time. There's so many other better games that I could be playing than sitting here just pressing X to grind rocks.
Yeah.
And so I got rid of the game. But then the update started coming out. The developer came out with an update that included more vehicles, you know, little buggies and new ships and other stuff like that. You know, better trading, better interaction with NPCs. Then another update. It lets you have freighters that can house multiple ships, and you can, you know, take your freighter to and from different systems and become like a trading mogul. And then another update comes out and it includes base building. And then another update comes out and it includes, you know, all this other stuff. And now finally they're introducing multiplayer into this game. And it's just this marvelous turnaround from this game that had no depth to it to now this game where you can build bases with friends online and go explore a limitless galaxy and have an entire fleet of freighters and frigates at your disposal. And there's a 30-hour story, and there's, you know, you can build racetracks and you can set up an intergalactic trading system. All of a sudden, this game is becoming so hyped again. People are really looking forward to this update. People have been eager to get their hands on it, and lots of articles being written about how it's finally living up to the hype and how people are finally, you know, getting what they paid for 2 years ago. And it's just interesting how in the same story of this game, you have what is the worst of video games and what's the best of it. Because what's the worst is this game was rushed to market under immense hype by Sony. You know, this is a lot of this probably rests on Sony for not corralling the situation better. For not being like, whoa, don't promise people the universe if you can't give it to them.
Yeah.
You know, and then they're like, we really need to get this out because they hyped it up so much. And it launched basically incomplete. But then instead of caving to the pressure, they could have just taken their tens of millions of dollars and rode off into the sunset stroking their, you know, comic book villain mustaches.
Yeah.
But they didn't. This team of under 20 developers took that money and dumped it back into four massive updates, all of which could probably be new games on their own. And they also announced they're going to be doing weekly content drops, new items, new community challenges, new community events. They're going to support it for the foreseeable future. So that's what's the best of video games, is that they messed up, catastrophically so, but they stuck with it, and through the magic of digital software updates have been able to literally raise this thing from the dead and turn it back into what many are now calling a really, really good game. It went from a really terrible game to a really, really good game. It's just, it's so strange. The, well, the 180 this really, game has done.
Here's really the key question. Are you going to go back and play it?
That is the big question, because I sold the game. And, you know, I have to admit this. I spent $70 on the collector's edition.
Uh-huh.
Because I got caught up in the hype, and I watched the trailers, and I saw big space dinosaurs, and I was like, I want a game with space dinosaurs and spaceships. And so I pre-ordered the collector's edition, and it was not good.
Yeah, so good.
I got burned bad. But now, now I'm wondering, is it worth it to find a copy of this game to give it another shot because of what the developer has been able to do to it? You know, there's a certain amount of respect you have to lend to the developer for actually sticking with it, because we see other developers go the opposite route.
Right.
Abandon the product. But it seems like these guys, you know, they messed up and they're willing to make it better, and they have made it better. I'll be honest, I am thinking about trying to find a copy of the game and get back into it. Yeah.
Huh.
I think enough time has passed, and that the developer has proven enough through 2 years of consistent updates that they're willing to stick with it. And it doesn't seem like it's a project they're going to abandon. And it seems like everything they promised before launch, they had every intention of doing. It was just the realistic limitations of a group of under 20 guys trying to build an unlimited universe.
Yeah,
so
I'm interested that you're actually going to try and find a copy and try and give it another shot.
Yeah, I really want to see how far the game has progressed, because then I can really speak to how much it's actually gotten better. But I think it's important here. The main takeaway of this is that I think you can't hold you know, one mistake over a person's head for forever and ever and ever. It seems like these developers showed that they made a mistake and that they're willing to make amends for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and so
I
think that's admirable.
Yeah, and I think they should be given a second shot, because they could have taken the easy route. They could have taken their tens of millions of dollars and walked away. The guy got death threats. He never had to do another interview again in his life. He could have retired rich and happy and been fine with it. But it shows that he's passionate about this. Everybody deserves a second shot. So I'm thinking about giving this game a second shot. Hmm. And I don't think that people should let the backlash of the launch deter them from trying the game now. I absolutely think that they can't hold that over
the developer's head. Is
there
anything else you can do in this game besides just finding planets and...
Well, that's sort of the thing now, is that at the beginning, that's all you could do. But now, like I said, it's much more of a Minecraft-esque game, where you can, you know, find planets, but now there's apparently a 30-hour story where, you know, you're discovering alien races and you're trying to uncover some, you know, mystery about an ancient AI, and you can travel from planet to planet finding characters to do missions for, and in the process of doing missions, you can build bases on planets, and you can, now it's possible to employ an entire fleet of starships that you can, you know, summon to your aid in the middle of a space battle, or send out to collect resources for you.
So there is action.
There is plenty of action. Oh yeah.
Okay.
You can become a space pirate. You could become a business mogul. You know, traveling from system to system, collecting one resource in one system and flying to another system and selling it where it's, you know, more valuable, and using those resources to turn around and build a farm on another planet, or build racetracks, or just continue down that path of that mysterious story. Let me tell you, this is like 100.
Yeah, it sounds like it's trying to be more Mass Effect now.
It definitely is. I mean, it doesn't have the same storytelling vibe as Mass Effect. It's not as scripted and intentional, but it is like, here's this massive sci-fi universe. Now go explore it and experience it and do whatever you want to do. Before, the do whatever you want to do was basically collect rocks.
Yeah, it sounded to me like the original game was only just like, find a planet, name it, right. That's it, move on.
Right, but now it's different. Once you find a planet and name it, you can build a base there, and other players can go find your base, and they won't be able to change it, but they can see what you built, and you can interact with those players, and you can go off and build a base on another planet, and you can sort of like make little colonies in places and have your, like I said, your own. The thing that interests me is the fleet of starships. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know how difficult it is to get a fleet of starships, but that is like something that I've always wanted in a game, is to command a fleet of starships and be like, go attack that thing, or, you know,
go attack that thing.
Go do this thing for me. It's just something breathtaking about, you know, flying up to like an entire collection of, you know, Star Destroyers or something.
Mike, you should be a commander in the Empire.
go destroy that thing.
Send a TIE fighter to destroy that thing over there. I don't like the way it looks. There's some sort of green light emanating from that moon planet. Go destroy it.
Yeah, I would totally be that type of person.
Increase power firepower now on green light. I don't like it.
Yeah. But yeah, so I just think that this story about No Man's Sky is so incredibly compelling about how they did this 180, and I think it teaches us two really good lessons. One, that we should be more careful with the hype and with pre-orders. You know,
that's always a lesson.
Yeah, it's nobody's fault but my own that I pre-ordered the game and spent money on it. But I do think that the way that people hyped this game up, and put that pressure on the developer. I'm not saying to not get excited about things, but we can't also, you know, build our expectations up so high and then, you know, have them crash and then lash out with death threats. There's never a reason to, you know, make a death threat against somebody. That's just completely unreasonable. And we have to keep our expectations in check. You know, if we're the type of person to make death threats, you know, keep things in check. And it also teaches us that, you know, we should give developers a second chance when they're willing to make amends for a game.
Yeah, if a video game developer messes up, admit you mess up and try and fix it.
Yeah, and you know, I'm seeing the same thing now with the Jurassic World Park Builder game.
Oh, yes, the one you downloaded because it said Jurassic Park on it.
Yes, absolutely. No, it's a really fun game, but it's the same problem that before launch, they promised a lot of stuff. And then as people play, they realize, well, it doesn't really have that much stuff. And the developer's being very quiet right now. And I'm seeing the same trajectory as No Man's Sky because people are starting to get really, really angry. And the community is becoming toxic around it. And we just have to remember that these are people trying their hardest to make these games and they should be held accountable. But the more and more you lash out against them in such violent and toxic ways, it makes them not want to continue on with the project. You know what I mean? They're people trying to make a living, trying to make the best game that they can. I'm not saying to give them a free pass, but, you know, a well-reasoned argument is always better than just, you guys suck, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just that's the one part of the video game community that's always bugged me, is people get way too excited about it and take it out on people just trying to make a cool game, you know?
All right, well, there you go. Mike is going to give No Man's Sky a second chance when it comes out, when the update comes out.
If anybody has a copy of the game they don't want,
contact at Mike Costanzo on Twitter. We got one more news story to talk about, and we got to go over a show that is a show that we both follow very religiously. Some Walking Dead news. Oh, yeah. So Walking Dead had their appearance at the San Diego Comic-Con, which, of course, commands a very big media presence. A lot of hype for Season 9. There's a big trailer that debuted, a 5-minute trailer.
That's a very long trailer.
Yeah, so make sure to check that out if you're a big Walking Dead fan. But I think the biggest news from this whole thing came from one of the interview questions from Andrew Lincoln. And he addresses the elephant in the room and says what we all heard, but let's get the official proclamation from Rick himself, Andrew Lincoln.
This will be my last season, playing the part of Rick Grimes. Now hear me out, please. I love this show. It means everything to me. I love the people who make this show. I promise not to cry. I've done enough crying on screen. This has been the most extraordinary, amazing, and beautiful experience of my career, and made largely because of you guys and the relationship we have here with you, this room, and also in rooms across America and the rest of the world. So I just want to thank you. And I don't want this to turn into an Oscar acceptance speech or an obituary. This is not the point of it. What I want to do is, as you've seen the trailer, we're deeply, deeply proud of the work that we've done this season. I'm talking too much, aren't I?
No, you're not.
Am I talking too much?
No.
You're talking too much.
Yeah, he's right.
Yeah, and then I love that at the end, Jeffrey Dean Morgan. You're talking too much, Rick. Come on. But unfortunately, he addresses the elephant in the room and confirms that this is definitely going to be his final season. Where should our expectations be for season 9? Because I'm going to say right now, I think this is it. I do not understand how you can have a Walking Dead without Rick Grimes. I think this is... where do you go? I don't know, maybe something with Negan? I don't know. Other than that, I think this is over.
Yeah. So Walking Dead without Rick Grimes is like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich without the peanut butter and the bread.
Yeah.
It's just a spoonful of jelly, which is fine if you like jelly, but it's not a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Yeah, I don't think most people would have the jelly on its own.
No. Rick Grimes is central.
I'm going to eat this big jar of Smuckers.
I'm just going to eat a spoonful of jelly.
Whole jar of Smuckers gone.
I mean, jelly's great. Don't get me wrong. I mean, we could debate all day the merits of jelly versus peanut butter. But, Rick Grimes is central to the show. I mean, the show opens with Rick Grimes. You know, his journey to discover what happened to his family. He finds his family. And throughout the series, that has been the keystone of everything, was his ability to do the morally gray things that he did came from his desire to keep his family safe, not just Carl, but his sort of adopted family, too, of all his people, and the drive to try and make something better. And that was such a central theme in the comics, and they did a decent job of relaying that in the television show as well. And this is the point in the comics where – how spoilery am I allowed to get?
I think you – I mean, here's the thing. Even though you've read the comics, it doesn't necessarily mean that's what's going to translate into the TV show.
Okay.
Should I play the spoiler music?
Play the spoiler music because I think as much as you think it won't, I think it will. It's a spoiler! It's a spoiler! Don't listen! Go away!
Okay. Go ahead.
So I will only talk about things revealed in the trailer. The first thing is that at this point in the story, there's a time jump forward. We see that when,
obviously.
Right. Yeah. We see that in, you know, Rick looks older. We see that in Judith is like now 6 or 7 years older.
Right.
And that's sort of what the time jump is. It's several years in the future. And this is the future that Rick Grimes had envisioned, a future in which everybody's cooperating, they're rebuilding society, and people are working together. He says in the trailer... I think there's something like people are drawn together or something along those lines. And that's sort of what happens. That's exactly what happens in the comics, is they create a network of these communities that were once under the control of the Saviors. Where it departs from the comics is that they're building up this big civil war conflict between the communities. That's a very brief, like, couple issue arc in the comics, but it seems like they're really building this up to be something larger. And I'm starting to see a potential way that Andrew Lincoln can exit the show during this conflict, whether it be through him getting killed or him deciding to cede control to see it can't be Maggie, because Maggie is scheduled to leave the show too.
Yes.
Which is super weird to me, because who becomes the quote unquote leader then?
Negan? Negan escapes.
Easy peasy lemon squeezy.
Why not?
Oh, Rich, I wish I could
tell you. You guys, look at my dirty girl.
Yeah, maybe he will be.
I want to talk comics so bad right now. You have no idea. Do you want to know?
Sure, I mean, look, I don't think Jenny Harm, because that we've seen it before. It doesn't mean that's necessarily what they're going to stick with in the script.
Okay, because I really want to see your reaction to this. So Negan continues to be a force, and that is, of course, hinted at in the trailer by, you know, Rick Grimes and Negan talking
about.
And also,
he's in the main cast, so he's not going anywhere.
Right. But no, I mean, he continues to be a force in a much bigger way than just being a devil on Rick's shoulder.
This is the kind of thing that just tickles my balls.
So far, so good.
So you know what? Negan might be the new main character.
Oh, my God. It actually could turn into the Negan show.
No, not in the way you think. Negan in the comics has somewhat of a dramatic character evolution.
You sound so, like, pained right now.
Well, because I don't want to spoil things too much for people, but there...
Okay, within a minute, do whatever you can.
There arises a situation in which Rick needs the assistance of Negan.
Okay.
They let Negan out.
Okay.
This upsets many people.
Right.
And I believe that is where the conflict will come from. Because Maggie has expressed her displeasure
Maggie
with
wants
that,
to kill her,
as
kill
does Daryl. And Daryl in the trailer says, when we were a small group, we could do what we wanted and it felt right. This doesn't feel right. I don't know what else he could be referring to other than releasing Negan to help with the coming conflict, which is also teased in the trailer when you see, I think it's Eugene and Rosita, slide into a mud pit and they hear some whispery voices say, "Where are they?" That's alluding to the next big bad for the upcoming season, a group called the Whisperers, which I'll just leave.
Oh, because they whisper.
Because they whisper.
Hey, guys, they whisper.
They whisper. Let me tell you, it's a lot more terrifying when you find out what they're actually doing.
Just FYI. They whisper. Just making sure everybody knows.
So what I can see here is maybe a situation in which Rick bows out to let Negan take control, because I don't think Negan will kill Rick. And I don't think Rick is – if they have Rick die to a walker bite, it's just going to be – Carl all over again. Yeah. And fans are going to hate them for that. I think Rick either leaves or Rick gets killed in the conflict, not by Negan and not by a walker, but by someone or something else. And that is what I think is probably going to happen. And I lost track of what the original question was, but I hope I've answered it.
Yes, I think you did. But there you go. The hype train is starting up again for Walking Dead, coming out in October, season 9.
I will say this. I'm actually looking forward to it after the trailer.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. Mike is back on board.
What about you? Because I know last season left a sour taste in many people's mouths. But it's a new showrunner. It's a new era. So they can wipe the slate clean of every mistake they made in the past.
Yeah, my only concern is I just don't know how you're going to be able to create a dramatic storyline when you know the main character is going to be leaving the show. You know? So, I don't know.
I really don't want it to be the Daryl show. I don't think he cannot carry.
I don't know.
He cannot carry.
Who else? You have to have somebody else to fill the shoes of the main character. It's either going to be Negan or Daryl.
It's really rough that they're losing both Andrew Lincoln and Lauren Cohen, Rick Grimes and Maggie.
Yeah.
Because in the comics, those are the two leaders of the two communities.
Yeah.
So you're losing both leaders. I mean, maybe they transition Maggie's story to Michonne. Although, if they go the route of the comics, that won't work. Maybe they transition Rick's role to Negan or Daryl, but I don't know. It's got to be Negan. Negan has to be the leading man because Daryl can't do it.
All right, I like that. The Negan show. Yay!
You're going to be disappointed when you find out anyway.
Well, whatever. We'll find out.
You'll get more Negan, but you might not like the direction of his character.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens for Walking Dead. Either way, I think season 9 is going to be it. I don't know. I don't know how.
I'm really excited for it.
Yeah, we'll see.
Even though I hated last season, I'm feeling optimistic.
All right, well, we got to end this segment, but don't go anywhere because I feel optimistic about the odd news. We got the non-fortunate key odd news coming up next. We'll be right back.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? This is Vic DiBattista, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
The Crispy Noodle, always crunchy.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You got to go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
Yeah, we are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler and the entertainment entree. Man, I feel like this episode's going by really fast.
Yeah. They always seem like they're going by fast when you're having fun, though.
Yeah, man. I'm having too much fun. I guess this is what's happening. But we're going to crank up the fun notch to 11 because it's time for our third and final segment, probably the most ridiculous segment that we have here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Folks, it's time for the non Fortune Cookie Odd News.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-Fortune Cookie Odd News.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Mandada bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Pass this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for hell, right?
Woo! Odd news.
That's right, everybody. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news. Here in this segment, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. He finds all these weird and wacky stories and keeps them hidden from me so that all my reactions are my genuine gut reactions to hearing these stories for the very first time. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down thrillingly stupid and exciting and weird paths. And I'm ready to dive on in. Let's start the journey. Where's the first stop on the Odd News Express?
All right. First stop is Massachusetts, going to New England. Okay. And this is...
Park the car in the garage.
Yep.
Is that a Boston accent?
That's Boston, yes.
Is that close enough?
Sure. All right. I don't know.
I
don't
apologize to any Bostonians listening. Go back to eating your clam chowder and ignore me.
But this story went viral over the past week. I got a couple of requests to mention this to you, Mike, so.
Okay. Oh, all right.
Yeah. So this went pretty, viral, this past week here. A Massachusetts man apparently learned the hard way that the judgment-free zone philosophy at Planet Fitness only goes so far because police say that 34-year-old Eric Stagno was walking around naked at the gym as he was settling in on the yoga mat.
Oh.
Something just came over me, and I took my clothes off.
Yeah.
There you go. It's literally already getting used.
Literally. We haven't even recorded it yet for the soundboard. We're already getting used out of it.
That sucks.
This guy's just already naked.
That really sucks, though, because I want to know, or rather, I don't want to know. I'm not sure if I want to know. Like, if you're naked and you're at the gym, like, what else have you interacted with? And can we burn those machines?
Yeah.
I don't want to sit on a bench that has some, you know, it's gross.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And very unhygienic.
You don't want to deal with ball sweat on other machines.
I was trying to avoid that term, but yes.
It's the odd news. I think we're allowed to go
there.
Why
am I trying to be proper?
Right.
Yeah, I don't want ball sweat on my shorts, okay?
Let's get to bashing butts as well as D's nuts.
Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah. Officers arrived at the Planet Fitness to find him nude and at the time on his knees in a yoga-type position.
Oh,
well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
That sounds... That just sounds terrible.
Yeah, this is...
oh, my God.
Yeah, this is interesting.
I really feel bad for those cops. They come down, and he's like, and let's do the backwards bending dog stretch. I don't know anything about yoga.
You don't do yoga.
Okay, you give me a yoga term.
I don't know. It's usually
the
like...
spread eagle.
Yeah, it's usually... a like a moving verb and an animal.
Oh, okay.
That's what usually every position is.
Like
yeah.
a plodding...
Donkey.
Pangolin. Plodding donkey. Oh, my God. I'm afraid of what that looks like.
Yeah. That's probably what he was doing.
It's just him standing with his legs spread all the way apart, and he's, like, hunched over. He's making terrible noises.
The Massachusetts man was arrested without incident and charged with indecent exposure and lewd and disorderly conduct.
Oh, there was no lascivious behavior?
No, I guess
usually
Boston's different. That's usually Florida.
Okay. Florida has the lascivious behavior.
Right. We're going to become legal experts by the end of all this. We know all the different charges.
We find the loophole. My client can't be charged with lascivious behavior because this is Boston and not Florida.
Yes. The only statement that he made was, quote, I thought it was a judgment-free zone. Which
I don't think it applies in that context.
Yeah, which is a reference to the chain's popular slogan on its commercials.
What? Something just came over me and I took my clothes off.
Yeah.
Judgment free, like, what does he mean? Like, judgment from laws? Like, what?
Well, that's the chain.
Right,
that's the message.
I know what it's meant to be like. Anybody can come in. We don't judge anybody, you know. But I think that stops when you start taking articles of clothing off.
Yeah, and you're completely naked.
As soon as clothing starts to come off, you're like, whoa, whoa, we're going to judge you. And we judge you got to put that back on right now.
I thought you said it's a judgment-free zone.
But that doesn't make any sense for him to use that term in that context. Whatever.
Jim Goers, who saw Stagno naked, said that they felt sick and unsafe.
Well, yeah. Because you're sitting in another man's ball sweat.
Yeah.
That's gross.
I've got balls of steel.
Well, no, because then they wouldn't be sweating. This is the opposite of that.
I've got balls of steel.
In fact, it would be better if he had balls of steel.
I've got balls of steel.
Yeah, it would just clink and clank on the machinery equipment.
I'm just thinking of some of the machines, and it's like,
There was a bit of a nastiness last night, yes? Some very extreme nastiness, yes? Yes.
Oh, man.
Stagno was released on $1,000 bail.
Did they say whether they're going to burn that location down?
They might have to.
Yeah.
that's the only way you can get rid of
that. How do you get
that...
customers to come back in? You're like, well, we got this machine, and it's only had one set of naked balls on it.
Yes.
So, and we wiped it down with a paper towel. So you know it's okay, because you know they don't, it's impossible. They don't wipe all that stuff down, come on.
Yes, it has one wipe through. It's
it has one, yeah, they're like, oh man, ball sweat, better get a 2-ply paper towel for this one. You know that's the extent of what they did. And you're sitting right where that dude's balls sat, hairy and sweaty, and they're just smushed right there on that pleather. And then when you sit down on that pleather... And maybe your skin touches that. Your skin's touching a squishy, hairy, sweaty pair of balls.
All right. Thank you, Mike, for that very visual.
I'm helping people understand how terrible this is.
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day.
All right. How about we get to our next story here? And this will make you happy. We're going to...
I hope so.
We're going to Tennessee in this story.
Yo, we're from Tennessee.
It's good to yell at people and tell them you're from Tennessee. That way you'll be safe.
Yeah.
I'm already happier with Gary Busey.
You got to go to Tennessee.
Oh, yeah.
Well, another naked person.
Why?
A naked man who police found doing jumping jacks in the women's bathroom of a McDonald's was arrested on public indecency charges.
That doesn't sound good.
Something just came over me and I took my clothes off.
Isn't everything just sort of like flapping around if you're doing jumping jacks?
Oh,
that
yes.
That doesn't sound comfortable, does it?
I guess if you're free and on the loose, I guess it is a pleasurable feeling.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
That's a yes.
There you go. That's a yes. Confirmed audio there.
Yeah. That's what he was doing as he was jumping. As he was doing his jumping jacks.
That's a yes.
That's a yes.
I just have this thought of, like, this dude just doing endless jumping jacks, just waiting for someone to come in. What if he's probably going to get really fit being a pervert.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's like an unintended benefit of being a perv, is that you end up getting really fit.
If you do all these jumping jacks while you're waiting, yeah.
Because what if it's not a busy bathroom? You know, what if you're just like 120, 121, 122, and then finally somebody happens in on you? You know, or did he start jumping jacks as soon as the people walked in? You know what I mean?
Well, that would be lazy.
Yeah, that's not full commitment to the perv lifestyle.
Police were summoned to a McDonald's in Nashville due to a male subject who was locked.
You don't want to get naked in a McDonald's bathroom. You're going to get all the diseases.
Due to a male subject who was locked in the women's restroom naked. Restaurant management reported that...
Oh, he was locked in there?
Yeah, restaurant...
So nobody's even going to shut... What? That's fine. He's locked in there. He's naked in a locked bathroom. I don't understand the problem.
Restaurant management reported that the naked man had been in there all day long.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So he actually is, like, camping out in this.
He staked it out. He's like, I'm naked here. That makes it my territory.
Yeah.
That's how the animal kingdom works, Rich. Didn't you? If you get naked in a place, that's your place.
That's a yes.
That's a yes.
That's just the laws of the jungle, baby. If you get naked in a place, it's all yours.
A patrolman reported that he encountered 25-year-old Brody Young in the bathroom. Brody Young was indeed naked, according to the cop. He was erratic, doing jumping jacks and hitting the wall repeated times.
Okay.
He also noted that there was a strong chemical odor in the air, which is evidence that the young man had been likely huffing.
Yeah.
Wow. Doing some huffing.
That would explain a lot, actually.
Yeah. He was deemed a danger to himself and others, so he was immediately taken into custody and charged with several misdemeanors. He pleaded guilty to criminal trespass. Prosecutors dropped indecency and public intoxication counts. And
wow,
he
was nice of them.
And his bail was exactly $329.
Oh, come on.
I don't know how this works.
Stop it.
We need to call up Tennessee. How did you come up to this number?
You're telling me I could do naked jumping jacks in a bathroom in Tennessee?
All day for $329.
And huff stuff?
And huff stuff, yeah. That's all you got.
I mean, that's a pretty good deal right there.
That's a yes.
I'm pretty sure you only pay 10% as well of bail, right? Isn't it? I'm not sure how exactly it works, but I thought I remembered seeing that somewhere. Bail bondsmen usually charge a 10% fee, so if your bail is $10,000, you'll likely pay a $1,000 non-refundable fee to the bondsman.
So... if it was $329, he only had to pay $32.90?
That doesn't make sense.
I don't know. Tennessee, what are you guys doing? How did you get the $9?
Right. Where did that come from?
Like, really? At that point, you couldn't just round it up to $330?
Exactly.
Like, is there, like, a specific public indecency is $29 or something?
Right. Right. Something either... yeah. I don't know. It's very upsetting when it has these non-perfectly rounded numbers.
You know what I'm going to do?
What?
All right. This is going to be a mental reminder right here. I'm going to say it on the podcast.
Okay. I'm scared. Don't do it, Rich.
Sometime before the year's out.
Okay.
I'm going to call a police station.
Oh my god.
And we're going to interview somebody who sets the bails. Cuz we need to go over how does this work?
Yeah, so keep this story.
Yeah.
Bookmark this story.
Because this is ridiculous. How did you get $329?
Yeah. How does bail work? I don't understand.
Yeah.
Every time. Every freaking time. And how is it? What was it? Like a few weeks ago, somebody did something stupid. They probably got naked. And it was like $40,000.
Yeah, right? Some
this dude is huffing chemicals, doing naked jumping jacks in a public bathroom and like, ah, $300, we'll call it square. why is
$329?
Oh, the 29, that's
very important.
Sets it over the edge.
Right, that's a free t-shirt at Target or something, I don't know.
I don't understand the discrepancy, 40,000 to 329,
I don't,
you know.
If anybody wants to help me, send a message to at the Crispy Noodle or on Twitter at Rich Liebig. We need to.
Are there any police officers listening to our podcast?
We need to interview.
If so, I apologize.
Yeah.
And secondly, please explain this to us.
Yeah, we need to interview someone who actually sets the bail bonds, because I don't know how they come up with this. That's $329. Okay, how about, let's crank up the weirdness level. Let's go to some Florida stories.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
We gotta get some Florida stories. They only had one last week, now they have three, so I guess they're back in action.
What? Sorry, I was trying to research bail. Okay.
We'll do it after the show.
Okay, I'll do it after the show. Right. I'm sorry. I was just so distracted and upset.
We got time.
Okay. So Florida only has, what, three stories?
Yeah, after last week they only had one.
Yeah.
So
three is like their new normal.
I don't know, man. Things are happening down there.
Things are happening. Not good things.
Here's a story here for you. A 30-year-old Florida man was arrested after authorities said that he got angry and threw his girlfriend out of a hotel window and into a pool during a drunken fight.
Wow.
Hey, listen, you can't do this to me. Stop that. I've got friends in this town.
Exceptionally fine shot.
I didn't know it was a pool down there.
There you go. Classic scene from Diamonds Are Forever.
You see, I was just about to say, he got really lucky there was a pool down there. Yeah. How far did he throw this poor lady?
The incident happened just...
40 stories.
The incident happened just before 1 in the morning at Vero Beach Inn and Suites. The sheriff's deputies were called to the hotel by Joseph W. Smalligan. Who said...
Wait, Smalligan?
Smalligan, yeah.
That's a silly-sounding name.
Yes, it is.
It's almost like Smelligan.
Yeah, not quite.
Smalligan.
Smalligan. He said that his girlfriend actually was the one that punched the window out.
Oh, right.
When
that doesn't mean throw her out of it. Like, oh, she punched it. She wants to go out. I'll just help her.
I guess that means I have...
Here, honey, let me give you a shove.
That means I have to help her out now.
Hey, listen, you can't do this to me. Stop that. I've got friends in this town.
Exceptionally fine shot.
I didn't know it was a pool down there.
It's a good movie. But anyway, when deputies arrived, the man and the woman were both very intoxicated from drinking.
Mm-hmm.
The woman...
I would assume so. Not many people rationally in their right mind throw people out of windows.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, I'm not intoxicated at all, and I'm going to push you out this window.
The woman had a deep cut on her right heel.
That's super lucky for being thrown out of a window.
Yeah. She told him she was fighting with her boyfriend. That's when he cornered her in the room. After she pushed him away, he then punched her... grabbed her and threw her out the window where she landed in the hotel pool. Yeah.
Did it say how far up it is? Are you stringing me along? You're going to be like, and it was the first floor.
I don't know. It doesn't say how high the fall is. But the hotel was the Vero Beach Inn and Suites. I don't know. Maybe if you give a Google search, maybe you can see how high it is. Vero Beach Inn and Suites.
Let's see. I'll give it a quick Google foo.
And while you do that, I'll finish it up. A hotel employee standing by the pool told deputies that she heard glass shatter and then saw the woman fall outside. Smalligan denied that he did all this and said that it was all her fault because she tossed her shoe and broke the window. The woman was taken to the hospital to make sure that the cut on her right heel was fine. Smalligan, on the other hand, was sent to jail on an aggravated battery and domestic violence charge. So, yeah, he's in jail.
So I'm checking out some pictures here.
How does it look?
I mean, it looks all right, but I will say this about the pool and the windows. I'm not sure how he got her over there.
Is he the NFL quarterback?
Just, I mean, he really had to throw her. I don't know. Maybe there's more parts to this that I'm not seeing, but the one picture I see is like the pool is in the middle of this courtyard, right? And it looks, from all these pictures I'm seeing, it's only a two-story building. So he didn't throw her out of a very tall building.
Okay, so that's why she's not really hurt then.
But there's a lot of space between the building and the pool. Like, you can't easily get a person, like, I mean, like, a lot of space. you really have to, like...
He's Brett Favre.
like, cartoon-style, pick somebody up by, like, the back of their neck and their pants and, like, heave-hoe them out the window. You know?
Just, like, right over there.
Hoo-ah!
Yeah. Just right over there. I don't know. Maybe he did.
I don't know. I must be looking at the wrong pictures, though, because I don't understand how he got enough power to throw her that far. That's insane. Also, kind of, I mean, if he did, I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Hey,
I'm not going to lie. That's pretty impressive.
The Browns, don't they need a quarterback? There you go. To get this guy.
You know what? He's probably better than whatever they got right now. You know, give it a shot. Have a fan tryout.
Yeah. Why not?
There's a fence around it. Like, dude, yeah, he should definitely try out for a football team. I hope I'm looking at the right place. This is the Vero Beach Inn and Suites in Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
unless there's multiple ones. I don't know. Maybe.
Did he walk her out to the pool? Did he pick her up and, like, walk her out?
No, it says he threw her out the window.
Oh, that's right. Out the window. Man, she had to have flown.
Well,
they need Browns. You got to contact the guy.
Yeah, Browns.
And try
call this guy up.
You don't understand, Rich. I'll show you a picture after the show.
Bills. Bills don't have a quarterback. Call
That's
him
right.
up.
That's right. They got rid of Tyrod Taylor because they're stupid.
There you go. Bills. Yeah, call him up.
Stupid Bills.
All right. Let's get to our next Florida odd news story here.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Let's do a good old-fashioned, just weird name story here.
Oh, I like weird names.
After getting busted for offering an undercover cop a, quote, happy ending, a Florida masseuse is in jeopardy of losing her massage therapist license, according to state records.
Wow, they actually had a license and they blew it on blowing people?
Yep. But are you ready for her legal name?
Sure.
Her legal name, her legal name for doing massage therapy and offering a happy ending is Me Suk Suk Bay.
Now your name is
Fook Me.
You kiss your mother with that mouth?
Fook Me. It exists.
Oh, I see. Your name is Fook Me.
You want to drink?
Yes, of course. But you know, I have a private bar in the back that you're more than welcome to use.
Here you go.
But Fook Me, that was fast.
Fook you.
Oh, you're going the right way for a smack bottom, and I don't care who knows it.
Austin.
Oddy.
This is my twin sister. Her name, Fook You. Fook You. Fook Me.
Yep, there you go.
Classic. Well, her name was Suk Suk.
Me Suk Suk Bay.
Come on, man. I feel like you're just destined.
By the way, 61-year-old.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she doesn't let age stop her.
Man.
She wants to earn that money.
Well, look, I mean, you're cursed to a life of jerking off people and blowing people if your name is Me Suk Suk Bay. Like, I mean, I feel like you just, certain names, you just have to live up to them, you know?
So 61-year-old Me Suk Suk Bay was arrested after she, quote, agreed to touch an undercover Jacksonville Sheriff's Office investigator. The 61-year-old masseuse worked at the Victoria Spa, was then charged with offering to engage in prostitution. She has entered a no-contest plea to a reduced charge. Her bail was set at $300, sure.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's even less than doing naked jumping. I don't understand.
We need to figure this out.
That's like, geez, that's not that much.
Yeah.
I mean,
but unfortunately, though, this legal issue will be a problem with her license. The state's Board of Massage Therapy has officially filed a complaint to seek a sanction to limit the license of the masseuse. The Board of Massage Therapy complaint notes that, quote, therapists are required to maintain patient boundaries and cannot engage in sexual activity with their patients.
Well, it takes all the fun out of it, though.
Yeah, come on, man.
Come on.
Board of Massage Therapy.
Boring fuddy-duddies.
They think they're all that in a bag of chips.
Yeah.
Bay, who also went by the name Michelle Gladstone. I guess that's better.
Those are like two complete opposites.
Yeah, I think she realized her name
one is
was
basically
horrible.
One is basically saying, I'm a prostitute. And the other is saying, like, I'm an international British spy.
Michelle Gladstone.
Michelle Gladstone, right? Doesn't that sound like a James Bond type name or something?
You're thinking of Treadstone in Bourne Identity.
I'm definitely not thinking of that because I've never seen that movie.
Oh, that's a good movie. You should check
that
out.
What was it?
Bourne Identity.
Is that the first
that's
one?
That's the very first one, yeah.
Maybe I have seen that one.
The program is called Treadstone.
Oh.
So that's by...
I think maybe I did see that one.
Anyway.
But yeah, it sounds like a spy name is the point I'm trying to make.
Whatever you want to call her, either Misuksuk Bey or Michelle Gladstone.
Boy, I can't imagine why she changed her name.
Whoever she is, she faces a permanent suspension of her massage license.
That sucks.
If this goes through. So, unfortunately, yeah, she won't be offering happy endings anymore.
Do you really need a license for that, though? Like, you just set up some shady massage parlor and you're just like, hey... Like,
yeah,
I'll touch you for money.
You don't need a license for that. Yeah, just go behind a building and set up shop.
Just set up like a little like lemonade stand, except instead of lemonade, you give blowjobs.
Perfect. Why not?
And it still costs 25 cents because it's in the back of an alley with a 61-year-old woman named Misuksuk Bey.
Yeah, Misuksuk Bey. What a name. Let's get to another Florida story that has to do with some name issues.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
I also am going to need help with this town name. Okoe? O-C-O-E-E.
O-C-O-E-E?
This sounds like way too many vowels.
Yeah, I mean, you got three vowels.
Four.
Four vowels, but three right in a row.
Yeah.
Okoe?
Okoe? I don't know.
Okoe. Yeah, I don't know. That doesn't make...
I don't know.
Doesn't make any sense.
Anyway.
I found it on Wikipedia, though.
Where is it located at?
Smack dab in the middle of Florida.
So, by Jacksonville?
Sure.
Okay. That's where we're
going. I mean, I don't know.
Well,
let's see what they got here. They got a population of about 44,000 people. So, it's pretty big.
Okay.
Oh, well, there was a massacre there in the 1920s.
Ooh.
That's not good. But it grew...
Please continue.
Oh.
Dateline wants to know more.
Oh.
I won't read that story.
Okay. Well, anyway, I got this story here.
Okay.
So whatever this town is, Okoe, is it Okoe or I don't know. I'll go with Okoe.
Okoe sounds good.
An Okoe, Florida man is accused of using the names and information of several well-known celebrities, athletes, and lawmakers to write and cash fake checks. According to the court paperwork, 23-year-old Michael Waters used the name of over 22 celebrities. Yeah, I think this guy just watched Catch Me If You Can or something and just thought he was going to
cash
fake checks.
He wasn't suave or smart, was he?
No. The investigation started more than 3 years ago when police were called to a Home Depot for the report of someone using drugs in the parking lot. When they arrived, they found Waters had been giving out several fake driver's licenses and also had fake checks with the names and informations of several celebrities.
Why would you use celebrities' names? How stupid do you have to be?
Yeah.
You just stroll up, you're some schlub, and you're like, my name is Tom Cruise. No, you're not. Shut up.
Well, I got a short list.
Oh, you got a list. Okay.
I got a short list. You want to hear what he tried to claim himself as?
Sure.
Okay. So he tried first. I don't know how this works. He tried to claim that he was a woman, Jennifer Capriati, who is a professional tennis player.
What?
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
And how old was this dude?
23.
A 23-year-old dude is trying to pass off as a female tennis player.
Yeah, that's not going to work. He then tried, this is a list of, IDs he tried to fake. John Morgan, who was supposed to be based on the Morgan & Morgan attorney. Jason Taylor, a professional football player.
Right.
Johnny Damon, a professional baseball player. Yeah. I guess because he was in Boston and New York. Maybe you think no one's going to know in Florida, Johnny Damon.
Right.
Zach Thomas, also a professional football player.
He's going for a lot of athletes. It'd be funny if this guy was not athletic at all.
Well, he did go for one musician.
Okay.
Are you ready for which musician he went for?
Sure.
Howie Duroux, the guy from the Backstreet Boys.
Backstreet's back, all right.
Yes.
Nice.
I'm the guy from the Backstreet Boys. That guy you forgot. The guy in the middle.
It might work out because nobody remembers them.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, hey, wait a minute. You take that back, all right? Backstreet Boys put out some quality music.
They did.
Yes. All right.
This is a classic.
But, yeah, he wasn't exactly the Nick Carter of the group or the other.
He was one of the no names.
Right. I forget the other lead singer now.
I don't know any of them, so.
Well, the point is they made great music.
Yes.
How dare you trying to be Howie?
I would have had him sing a song on the spot.
Right.
Be like, sing it. Sing I Want It That Way.
You gotta love that alright at
such
the end.
A good song.
Alright! Yeah, look, Backstreet isn't just back, alright? It's Backstreet's back. Alright!
That's right.
Alright. I don't know all any right. other band you get that pumped up for.
No.
Other than Ghost. Anyway.
No, literally no other band.
Yeah.
Backstreet Boys are the pinnacle.
Is Backstreet Boys the devil now too?
Yes, they are.
Oh,
I knew it! All those people in the 90s were saying that music is the devil's music. And they were right.
It's the rule now.
It's the rule. Everything you like is the devil.
Yeah.
Rich, what type of foul, sinister ability is this?
I don't know. I corrupted the Backstreet Boys now, apparently.
You monster. Stop! Before you kill us all!
So investigators said that Waters used fraudulent checks with the names of those celebrities and other personal information at various stores to pay for thousands of dollars worth of goods and services. Waters would then return the goods for cash. So basically, he would just buy the stuff, put it under their name, and then return it, get the cash back.
Okay.
So
it sounds like a good strategy, but...
Yeah, but how...
you're using celebrities' names.
Right. They're going to catch on sooner or later.
Yeah, like, you can't stroll up there. Like, I can't believe he used a female tennis player's name.
Yeah, how does that work?
Yeah. Somebody checking the idea, they're like, oh yeah, this definitely makes sense. You're definitely a female athlete.
Backstreet Boys Howie Duroux told investigators that collection companies were calling and he could not figure out how this information, how his information was being used for fraudulent checks. According to investigators, Waters said that he actually didn't need the money, that rather he liked to do the purchase and return scheme, quote, for the thrill of it.
Oh, that's so stupid.
Yeah.
Find a thing that's... something else that's thrilling.
Get a different hobby. Come on.
Go freaking rock climbing or skydiving.
Yeah. Don't steal the Backstreet Boys' money.
Yeah, don't be stupid. Yeah.
Do anything else. Don't steal these poor Backstreet Boys. They live on the Backstreet.
Yeah.
That's why they're called the Backstreet Boys.
Yeah, they need that money more than you do.
Yeah. Jeez. People, come on. All right, I got one more story here. We're leaving Florida, and we're going to Arizona in our final story
it's
here.
It's very hot in
yes,
Arizona.
It is.
I would not like that place.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
Oh, okay.
Because in Mesa, Arizona, police say that a 37-year-old man was booked into jail after he stole an ambulance.
Oh, now you fucked up. You have fucked up now.
Why do people always steal ambulances?
According to police, the suspect, Todd Tanner Shell.
Tanner. That's a strange name.
Yeah, what a name there.
Like, it's not strange for any reason in particular. It just seems odd to me. I can't put my finger on it.
It's a lot of syllables. Todd Tanner Shell. I don't know.
Todd Tanner Shell.
Yeah. Anyway.
It's weird because it's like TTS. I don't know. That combination, Todd Tanner Shell. It's weird.
Well, Todd Tanner Shell had just been released from the Banner Desert Hospital for a heat-related issue and thought it was too hot to walk home.
So you steal an ambulance?
Yes.
Wait, does your mind make that jump? Oh, they won't mind. They want me to stay out of the heat. They want me to get better. So they would lend me their ambulance. And how are you going to get the ambulance back? Are you going to make somebody come pick it up? Are you going to return it the next day? How does this ambulance rental service work?
He reportedly saw an ambulance running in the Bay Area while a crew was dropping off an emergency patient.
Right.
Shell told police that he took the ambulance so he wouldn't have to walk home in the heat.
Uh-huh.
Officers responded to the call of a stolen ambulance around noon and used GPS assistance to track it down.
Oh, very CSI.
Yeah. Mesa officers reported that he continued to drive at normal speeds.
Right.
But he refused to slow down.
In his mind, it's fine. You don't get into a running vehicle that is not your own and just leave. That's a crime. You don't do that unless you're incredibly stupid.
Hold on, wait. I got the very good reasoning here.
Oh, okay.
Shell told officers he wanted to buy a sandwich but needed to stop at home to get money first. He said that he intended to return the ambulance, so he never finished the process of doing something wrong.
I mean, he's got you there, cops.
Yeah, what a defense. Damn it. What a legal defense.
He found the one plot hole in all crimes. He was gonna bring it back.
I never completed the crime.
When is a crime complete? Yeah. That's a good point.
Look,
like if you just keep killing people and you never stop, can you ever be accused of killing people? If it's like a combo in a video game.
There's attempted murder. You can get charged for attempted murder.
Okay, so it doesn't work for that. Maybe this only works for theft.
Of an ambulance.
Well, any type of theft. You could take, like, anything. You take a TV, you're like, well, I was gonna bring it back.
Yeah, you just didn't let me finish the act.
Right, I just needed to complete the act. And if you would let me complete the act, you would see that I wasn't going to keep it. That's a brilliant loophole. I think it holds up in court. He should test it.
And look, it was hot outside. You know, I just came off of a heat-related issue.
Right. He was going to end up back in the ambulance anyway.
Right.
Like, he was going to start walking and pass out. Either, and they're going to be like, thank God this ambulance is running.
Yeah.
We can go pick him up right there.
Judge, do you want me to be driving the ambulance, or do you want me to be the person in the back of the ambulance?
Right. He's just saving taxpayer money.
Right. He's saving you time.
He's cutting out that middle step. Right?
Yeah, I'm trying to save you guys time and money here.
I mean, it makes sense to me. Because think about it, if he passes out, then they got to get him an IV, and they got to hook up all the expensive equipment. I mean, this is just forward thinking. It's, he's making process improvements. He's thinking about efficiencies. This guy is a revolutionary, really.
Yeah.
I think we can all take a lesson, a page out of his book, really, and save everyone a lot of trouble. When you get out of the hospital, they just have them lined up for you to take a free ambulance with every stay.
Free ambulance.
Well, with how much they charge you, you'll feel like you should get a free ambulance. You walk outside, and you're like, all right, I got my little slip, my non-slip socks, and where's my free ambulance? You ever get those hospital socks, the non-slip socks? That's the best part of the hospital. You've never had non-slip socks?
Not that I recall. No,
no, they're blue, and they got white sticky things on the bottom of them. They're very comfortable. I highly recommend it. You should go get a procedure done. So
yeah,
can,
right?
So you should go get some.
I'll steal an ambulance while I'm at it, too.
Right, exactly.
It'd be fantastic.
It's basically a gift bag.
Yeah.
You go in, you get your socks, you get your gown with no butt cover, and you get your ambulance. It's a one-stop shop, everything you need. It's perfect.
Shell was booked into jail on charges of unlawful use of means of transportation. and what? Fleeing from no. law enforcement.
No, but he used it properly. He drove it.
Yeah.
He didn't fly it. He didn't sail it. How is it improper? What was the improper use?
Unlawful use of
means. Unlawful use.
Yeah, unlawful okay. use of means of transportation.
Okay, I thought you said improper. I was like.
And he was also charged with fleeing from law enforcement.
Uh-huh.
Police did know.
Well, he wasn't fleeing. He was just going at normal speed.
Yeah.
I mean, fleeing as a verb, to me, has a specific connotation of like frantically, like hurrying, you know, like running.
Police say that the ambulance was not damaged. So,
well, yeah, because he was going to bring it back.
Right.
Which,
so, I don't know. I think he's got a case here.
I think he's got a rock solid case.
Yeah, man.
I think there's something to be said about, look, in the NFL, they have the process of completing the catch.
Yeah. This is the process
in
of the crime.
In crime, you have the process of completing a crime.
Right. It's not complete yet.
Yeah.
And I was
it actually works. Process of completing a catch, process of completing a crime.
I was going to bring it back.
Yeah.
Jeez, everyone take a chill pill.
Yeah, I mean, he's in the process of taking it to the ground. I mean, calm down, everyone.
Yeah.
Can he throw a flag and review it?
I don't. Can
Wouldn't
we,
that be
can
amazing if you get arrested and you pull out a red flag and the cops are like, ah,
oh, crap. We got to go to the review
we
booth.
Go to the review booth.
There's an actual separate car.
A separate car
up.
Rolls up. Where are they booth. Recording from? Where are the cameras?
Everywhere.
Whoa.
Illuminati. That's
freaky.
That's Alex Jones level yeah. Conspiracy theory there.
It's actually live audio of him listening to this podcast and,
yeah.
and finding out this bombshell news that we just revealed. I think they should have instant replay for crimes.
Sure, why not?
And you slow it down. You're like, and this is the point where the crime happens. But does he complete the crime? That is the question.
Well, that'll be a mystery we'll have to solve another day. But for now, that will wrap up the non-fortune cookie odd news. We now have to go over what have we learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what do you have for us?
Well, we all learned there's a very little-known loophole in the United States legal system that you cannot be convicted or arrested for a crime unless you've completed it. It's like the NFL. You know, it's in the process of completing the crime.
Yep.
If you haven't completed it, then it doesn't count.
Yep. Not a valid catch.
Right. You moved a second down.
Yep.
Okay? It's a dropped pass. It doesn't count. I like it. I think it's rock solid. I think it makes sense. Because how can you steal something if you're intending to bring it back? We've got him stumped there.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a valid legal case.
Boy, if you brought this up to Chris Collinsworth, his mind would be blown.
Yep.
The way he reacted to the Eagles, you know.
This is a guy. He always says that.
This is a guy.
This is a guy who knows the legal system.
He's a great guy.
He's a great guy. This is a guy.
Stupid Collinsworth.
Yeah.
I hate that guy. He's not a great guy. You know what? You know what? He's not. He's also not the devil, because you don't like him.
Yeah. So
do you like Collinsworth?
I don't have really a love or hate anything with him.
Oh, so you're indifferent.
Yeah.
Okay.
Does that matter? I don't know. Where does this fall on the scale of people
I
like?
We're still hashing out your newfound ability to turn. I don't understand how it works. Are you turning people into the devil? Or is it just that everything you like is already the devil?
Right. Everything that I like or respect is an instrument of the devil.
Is an instrument of the devil?
Yes.
Wow. That's pretty intense, man.
I wield a lot of power, apparently.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a power officially or just a strange coincidence.
Yeah.
But yeah, you like a lot of devil-y things.
Hi, here I am.
Oh, you're a very friendly devil.
Thanks.
You're a very friendly harbinger of death and destruction. Yeah. Hi, everyone. I'm your doom.
Who's ready for doom?
Who's ready for doom? Me. People are lining up for doom. You know what, though? Doom won't be so bad if we got some rockin' tunes from the Backstreet Boys.
That's
we
right.
learned that they're back and they're all right.
Yeah, they are, because now the guy who was trying to steal their identity is away in jail.
Yeah.
So that's good.
That's right. They've returned the Backstreet Boys' identity to them. All is well in the universe. And finally, I learned, don't put ball sweat on workout machines.
Yeah, that's
it's
not
gross.
Cool.
You keep your ball sweat where it belongs, in your own clothes, not on other people's clothes, because that's gross.
Yeah, don't do that.
They have to burn that whole building down now.
Yeah.
That's a lot of building they got to burn down.
Everything has to be burned.
Everything.
And there you go. That's what we've learned this episode of the Chris Newell Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm f***ed if I know what we did.
Oh, man. And there you go, folks. Another great episode in the books. Thank you for joining us on this week's episode of the Chris Noodle Podcast. If you haven't yet, make sure that you do all the social media with us. We're on Facebook. All you got to do is search The Crispy Noodle. We're on Twitter at The Crispy Noodle. And we're also on Instagram at The Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our videos on YouTube. You can find interviews, best bits, and a whole lot more. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to The Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. You get the latest episodes downloaded for free every Thursday. So make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to The Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher.
That's right. We also have a SoundCloud page. So if you go there, you'll see our mini noodle promos, some of our best bits of the show, shrunk down into a quick 2-minute promo that you can easily share with friends and family on the go. Show them the craziness that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. So many ways to get in touch with and share the Crispy Noodle Podcast. But if you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter, I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram as well. Basically, we're all over the place, so let us know what's happening. We also got the website, thechrispynoodle.com.
That's right, of course.
So, yeah, we're all over the internets. we're
spreading like a virus.
We're
no.
trying to clog up the tubes.
It's a series of tubes.
It's a series of tubes, and we're on it.
Well, noodles are like tubes.
Right, exactly.
It all works out.
Exactly. We're the crispy noodle on the internet, so
That's
it
right.
all works out. So, yeah, search us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, our website. Make sure you're following us however you do it. And just another programming reminder, next week we're going to have a nice little best of episode for you. Make sure to check that out because we're going to have the best odd news stories of the year so far. We're going to have some fun putting that together. But for now, we're going to have to wrap this week's episode up. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. That'll do it. I'm Rich Liebig.
I'm Michael Costanzo.
And we'll see you guys next week on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
See you guys.
Later!
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Hello, comrade. You are receiving transmission from Mother Russia. I am here to tell you, best podcast of 2018 is going to be Crispy Noodle Podcast, okay? This is the kind of thing that tickle my ball when nothing else will tickle my ball in Siberia. Okay? Crispy Noodle Podcast is best thing for 2018. You listen to Crispy Noodle Podcast. This is the show that is tickling my balls. The Crispy Noodle Podcast 2018 is you must listen, okay? Okay, yes, good. Goodbye, comrade.